everybody, and welcome back to this episode of Southern Onion Podcast. We're so happy you're here with us. It's us, your favorite twins. I'm Erica.
And I'm Erin.
And you still have nothing, Erin.
Yeah, I just, I don't know. It's
the level that you have brought so far into 2022, which is the second episode.
I'm sorry. I know. I don't know. I'm reserved. I'm just, you know.
You're reserved? I've never described you as reserved, just so you know.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm warming up. I'm warming up.
All right, fine. Well, happy to see you because we record these in video, so it's nice to see you as always. And to everyone else, welcome back. Hope you have had a great week. Hope everything is going well and people are staying healthy. It has been, you know, kind of, for me, it's not been that bad of a week since we last spoke. So that was nice. I only had to travel to two clinics.
Yeah,
it was great. So yay to that. So to all of our returning listeners, glad to have you back. To all the new ones, hello, welcome.
Yes.
We are so happy to have you here with us. We, Erin and I, like to share our opinion on different cases of true crime. And that's what they are, our opinions on the case. It's really that simple. Mm-hmm. It's kind of cool. We're a bare bones kind of thing. So,
what's wrong with that?
That's right. And if you haven't already, we would love to see you on our Instagram account at Southern Onion Podcast. You can follow us there. DMs are open. If you have any questions for us or have any show ideas that you would like for us to cover, we'll be happy to. Not a problem at all. So, and again, thank you all so much for the support. It is greatly, greatly appreciated. So, Erin, what have you been up to this week?
Not a lot. Isn't that great?
It is. It is. We just go.
It's so been it's nice.
Yeah, it's nice to have that downtime.
Yeah. You know, went to the eye doctor. The peepers are doing good.
Good.
Mm-hmm. So I did good on that. You know. Mm-hmm. So getting ready for Super Bowl because that is today.
Yep. Who are you rooting for?
The Bengals.
Oh, well, I'm going for the Rams. So,
Okay. Well, I can't do the Rams because, as you know, they used to be in St. Louis.
Right. Yeah.
They left us. And when you leave me, guillotine, baby.
That's it. It's nothing else.
That's it. You get nothing.
You don't exist to me anymore.
That's right.
Wow.
They are removed from my mind. Rams who? I don't know.
Oh, gosh. So, okay.
It's that, you know, which I still think the Titans should have gone to the Super Bowl. But,
absolutely. Yes.
Okay. But I moved past that. It took me 3 weeks to move past that. So
I'm still not past it, but we will.
Yeah. Okay.
So, okay. So great. Twins divided. Wonderful.
Here we go.
And with your eye doctor appointment, did they say you needed glasses?
No.
Erin.
They said my vision hasn't changed. It has not changed. And so I'm proud of that.
Okay. Good for you. Proud of you for going.
So until next year.
I think the last time I went to my eye doctor, they were like, you know, you see, what is it, 2015? And he goes, but you're getting ready, you know, the closer you get to 45, you're going to need bifocals. And I'm like, how am I going from 2015 to bifocals in like 2 years?
Right.
And he goes, it happens. I mean, just so, just like no hope in his voice at all. And I'm like, I don't want to be that way.
I don't like it when they say, well, people your age. I'm like, excuse me.
Yes. I don't like that,
either. That is fighting words.
Well, at your age, shut up. That's what I want to say. That's my next line. Shut up.
It just like drives me nuts. Well, you know, people, you're at that age. You're at that age. For what?
For what? Yeah.
Awesomeness.
Yeah. For you more. Know? You know, if I was one, everybody would be raving over how great I was, you know.
Right. I'd be aged to perfection. You
that's
know?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah. So that's my favorite term. So. Yeah.
At your age. Yep.
But yeah, that's all right.
Well, good. Well, I've been, I actually, before we recorded today, went to a basketball game, and the team won. I'm so happy. Way to go, Lady Balls. They beat in-state rival Vanderbilt, who is led by former UConn player, Shea Ralph. So, that made it even better that we won.
Cool.
Yeah, so I got to hang out with one of my friends who I just adore. She's one of those people, when you're around, you just... everything is just better, you know.
Aww,
you just feel better. Cool. So I won't say her name because I didn't get her permission, but she knows who she is. So and then work and video games.
There you go.
Living the dream.
That's right.
That's what I'm doing. So, excellent. All right. So, in keeping up with wanting to highlight a person for Black History Month, on Tuesday, if you are like me and many other people, you use Google a lot. The Google Doodle for Tuesday, February 8th of 2022, highlighted Toni Stone. Now, Toni Stone was born Marcina Lyle Stone. She was the first of three women to play professional baseball. So you know how much I love sports. So she played for the Indianapolis Clowns. And Toni actually replaced Hank Aaron.
Oh,
so
wow.
You know, if I mean, to replace Hank Aaron, you're good. Absolutely. And this, the team was in the previously all-male Negro leagues. This also made her the first woman to play as a regular on an American big league pro ball team. Now, Toni was born July 17th, 1921. She did pass away November 2nd, 1996. There is an off-Broadway play called Toni Stone that debuted in 2019. And in 2021, she was inducted into the Star Tribune's Minnesota Sports Hall of Fame. So how cool is that? And I lied. It was actually on February 9th, not the 8th. I can't count. Sorry. And the depiction who did the doodle on Google was by Monique Ray. This is her, and Ray is W-R-A-Y. And this was her second one that she has done for Google. So I just thought that was so impressive. I didn't know about her. So I'm trying to find, you know, people to highlight and shed that light on. So it's probably something we're gonna keep up with, because they deserve to have that spotlight. What an accomplishment that Toni did. I had no idea. And then she didn't even get props until last year when she was inducted into the Star Tribune's Minnesota Sports Hall of Fame. So,
wow.
Well done, Toni. Love it.
Yes. That's awesome.
And then, you know, last week I suggested The White Fragility. To read about racism. So this week I am suggesting So You Want to Talk About Race. And this is by Gioma Olu. And I apologize if I said that so wrong. But the first name is spelled I-J-E-O-M-A. Last name O-L-U-O. But you can Google or search So You Want to Talk About Race. That is also a very good book that I have read, and it was actually referred to me by a friend. And so that I really, it was good. So if you're wanting to learn more about racism, especially how to talk about racism, that's one of the books as well, along with White Fragility, to read. So
there you go.
Again, highlighting Black History Month and all the amazing people that we can highlight and show some love to that deserve it. Yeah,
exactly.
So, getting into this week, changing gears again.
Yeah.
Do you like that? You thought a car happened, didn't it?
Definitely. Like
A 65 Mustang Shelby dream car, just saying.
Or your bicycle.
My bicycle. Yeah, one of those two. Yeah. So this week we are going to be tackling the case of Billy Staton, S-T-A-T-O-N. This is a case from the 80s.
Yes.
All the way back to, 1982. We were 3 years old, Aaron.
Three. Yes.
I had bangs.
Believe that. Yeah.
My hair was a lot redder.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good year, I think. Was a good year for us.
Yeah, pretty good year. Yeah.
All right, Aaron. So what do you got?
Okay, so I watched, it's called The Devil Speaks, and you can find it on, like, Investigation Discovery Channel, and it's season 2, episode 1. So, or if you have DirecTV, you can watch it on demand, which is what I did, so.
And The Devil Speaks. But,
yeah, The Devil Speaks is what it's called, the show. So, we are in La Fiera, Texas, and I hope I say that right.
Yeah, that's some my understanding.
I don't know. Yeah, okay. So let's introduce you to some of the people that we'll be talking about. First, we have a lady by the name of Sherry Wolf. Sherry is described as being a fun-loving person. She is a very sweet, loving mother to her two-year-old daughter, Melanie. Now, she shares custody of Melanie with her ex-husband, Billy Staten.
Yes.
Okay. Now, Sherry is remarried. She married a man by the name of Paul Wolf, and they are actually expecting their first child together. Okay. Now, I mentioned Billy. He has a fiance by the name of Letitia Castro. Letitia is a school teacher. She's very loved and she very much loves Melanie. And this is the thing is, everybody loves this little girl. So Paul, who is the new stepfather, loves Melanie, very protective of her. And of course, Billy loves his daughter, wants to have a relationship with his daughter. And then Letitia, who Melanie loves, and she loves Melanie as well. So there's a lot of love going around here.
Right. One would assume. Absolutely.
Right. Right. So this little girl is very well loved. So, okay. So 1982 happens, right? Billy and Letitia are about 26 years old around the time that this happened.
Right.
So Billy had custody every other weekend of seeing his daughter, Melanie. So he is expected to go pick Melanie up on July the 16th for their weekend visit. So Billy doesn't show up. And Sherry tells family members, you know, Billy didn't show up to come get Melanie. Isn't he just horrible? I guess he's just fed up with her. I'm going to take her over to my mom's house. So she takes little Melanie over to her mother's. So no one hears from Billy. Like, nobody hears from Billy on the 17th or the 18th. Nobody's heard anything from Billy or Letitia.
And these were people that were accountable, where if they said they were going to be somewhere, they were there. If they said, hey, we're going to be there at 5, they were there at 5. So, right there, little red flags go off with Sherry going, oh, what a terrible father. You know, he's made all the other visits, but not this one. So boo on him. So,
So by Monday, Billy nor Letitia show up for work. So the family starts getting worried, as I think any family would. Letitia's brothers go to the home that Letitia and Billy share. And they walk in and they don't find anything. Like, there's nothing, like, out of place. Or it look like there's been a struggle. There doesn't look like there's been a break-in. It's like everything is kind of, like, it looks like they would come back. It wasn't like it was totally cleaned out. There was no clothes or anything, you know. So everything's there. So they call the police. And a ranger, a Texas ranger by the name of Bruce Castile, is given this case. So the thought is, Bruce and the team go in there. The thought is, maybe they've eloped. You know, they were engaged to be married. Maybe they're just like, hey, you know what? Let's just go get married. You know, and because there was food on the table, and it looked like they were going to be coming back. So it doesn't look like there's anything suspicious.
Nothing out of place. No premeditation of they plan to get out of town and not tell anybody, anything like that.
So Billy's family informed Bruce Castile that it was Billy's weekend to get Melanie. So Bruce goes over to see Sherry. And she tells him, you know, they didn't show up. They didn't come get her. So I just took her over to my mother's house. So police are like, okay. She also informs Bruce that Melanie doesn't like to go with Billy. That she cries and she just screams and doesn't want to go with her father. Which causes her and Billy to get into these terrible arguments. And then she's scared of Billy because Billy is so angry and argumentative toward her.
So painting him just to be a real loser.
Just a real hothead. And just, you know. So weeks go by and they don't know where Billy and Letitia are. Letitia. I hope I'm saying that correct. I'm so sorry if I'm not.
Yes,
to the family. So on July 27th, 11 days since Billy and Leticia are missing, mm-hmm. a crop duster is flying over a field and they see an abandoned car on like some farmland. Mm-hmm. And the car looks like it has been like run off the road.
Mm. Yep.
And they turn it into the police. The police go down there and they discover it's Billy's car.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Now, they think we're going to find bodies in this car, right?
Right, because if it was ran off the road and the people had injuries that they passed because of, right. bodies should still be in the car. If no right. foul play, yes.
Right. So they find a large rock on the accelerator.
Okay. That's not suspicious.
Right. The car had been burned, and there's mud everywhere on the inside of the car. But there's no bodies inside the car or the trunk.
Hmm. Okay.
So, yeah.
The
yeah.
plot thickens.
So it's suspicious. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, an informant calls the police. Mm-hmm. And this informant tells them, you need to look at Glenn Wayne Henderson because he's involved with the disappearance of Billy and Leticia.
Okay. So, somebody just anonymously called.
Just anonymously called and said, hey, you might want to check this guy out.
Okay.
And he's like 18 years old, by the way.
Hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, during this same time, Sherry and Paul abruptly move out of their house. They just up and leave.
So, okay. Yeah. Right. That is not suspicious. I mean, missed one visitation. Nobody can find him. Well, we were actually thinking about moving. Now might be the best time. Yeah.
They found the car. They're closing in, right? Mm-hmm. So we got to move.
Oh, yeah. People think they're so slick. I know.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. So the police search the home and they find a large blood stain under carpet. Mm. And they find blood splatter on the walls as if like somebody's been hit. Mm. And it's splattered back on the walls.
Yeah, it's spatter, not splatter, just so you know.
Oh, it's spatter.
But that is one thing I know
for certain.
I did
not
certain.
Know
it
that.
It is blood spatter, not splatter. Spatter. Yeah. No, it's okay. We're learning together.
Splatter, spatter.
No,
right?
Yeah, it is blood spatter. Okay. Yeah, it's spatter. Okay. We're all learning together. It's fine.
Is splatter a word? I don't know.
Splatter is a word, but not okay. when referring to the distribution okay. of blood. Yes, it's
okay.
spatter.
There you go. I got a new wrinkle in my brain.
See, the more you know. Do-do-do.
Right, yes. Thank you.
You're
so,
well, you're, did not know that. You're so. Fine. I didn't either. Yeah. Sorry. Should have shared before we recorded.
So, you can just correct me every time
yeah,
I say
I will.
Spatter. Okay. So, yes, it's spatter. Sorry.
Yeah.
So
you're good.
Okay. So, Bruce gets a call from an assistant DA stating that an attorney has reached out to him and he has a client who wants to confess to the murders of Billy and Leticia. Okay. And guess who the person is?
It's the 18-year-old, isn't it?
Nope, it's Paul Wolf, Sherry Wolf's husband.
What?
Yes. But
really? Oh my gosh.
Yes. Okay.
Now, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I'm sure you're getting ready to answer okay. questions, but I'm just like, yes. why out of right. left field after we've moved and everything that now, and they were married, right? Paul and
that
Sherry.
Is correct. Yes, okay. they were married and get ready to have a baby together.
Somebody got a conscience. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, and I think somebody knew they were closing in.
Yeah. Yeah. And trying to get
especially
ahead of
after
it.
They went to the house and saw blood and blood
spatter. Mm-hmm. You're
on
good.
The wall.
You're good.
I think he thought, "Uh-oh."
Yeah.
We better start explaining, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So Paul does that. So Paul says, "Now this is his statement on July 16th." Billy did come to pick up Melanie.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. With Leticia.
Okay.
Okay. Sherry had already gone to her mother's house because Sherry allegedly waited and waited and waited. And when Billy did not show up, she said, forget it. I'm taking her to mother's.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So Billy went into the house yelling, Melanie, Melanie, looking for his daughter. Mm. He starts getting upset with Paul.
Okay.
So Paul says, okay, well, I'll try to call Sherry's mother's house and see if I can get him on the phone and just have her bring her back.
Yeah.
So he said that he called, but there was no answer. Hmm. So Billy attacked him. So okay. Billy, yeah, right. So Billy's choking him and hitting him. And so Paul has this wrought iron bar that's just sitting off to the side. So in self-defense, he hits Billy.
Okay.
So that's what causes the blood spatter. That's what causes the big blood stain on the floor, right?
Okay.
Okay. Now, Leticia comes in because she hears this fighting. And she started attacking Paul.
So everybody's attacking Paul, okay.
Right. So Paul takes the wrought iron bar that he already had and starts beating Leticia with it. Now, he said that he panicked and he needed to get rid of the bodies.
Okay.
Right. He knew he, you know, this is self-defense. Remember that we talk about self-preservation? I did it, but it was self-defense.
Yeah, but it was their fault. Right. I had to do it.
Right, right.
Sounding familiar.
Instead of calling the police.
Right.
If Billy and Leticia were getting that belligerent.
Exactly, because you would assume Sherry would be home, so she could have ran off to call the police, right?
Right. So... He says that he's dumped the bodies, okay?
Right.
So Paul takes the police to where the bodies are. They're in a drainage canal, and they see Leticia's body floating on top. And next to her body is a 20-gauge shotgun shell. Now, remember...
He hit him with a pop.
He never mentioned it, right?
Right.
He never mentioned anything about shooting them.
Right.
Or her, okay? So that was kind of interesting.
Right.
Now, they also find Billy's body, and it's near Leticia's as well. So, while they're looking at Billy's body, they see, like, a square outline box, like, kind of on the chest area. They lift up the shirt, and it's a tape recorder.
So, Billy's got a tape recorder on him.
And the record button has been pushed on it.
And nobody thought to look at Billy before they threw him in the drainage?
No.
See, that just kind of
blows
my mind, because you've done all of this. And now we find a huge piece of evidence.
Right. That there's a tape recorder. So, they send the tape recorder off, and they are able to recover what's on this recording. Now, the question is, why was Billy wearing a tape recorder?
Right.
It's not something anybody would do normally.
And especially not in 1982. Now, you have smartphones. You can hit video or audio record on your phone, and no one would ever know it. But that took some planning in 1982
to
do. So that's sad.
Right. The reason why is because Billy had an attorney that he was going to and saying, look, Sherry is making it very difficult for me to see my daughter. Every time I go in there, it gets into an argument and I can't see my daughter. I just want to see my child.
Yeah.
So they were kind of going back and forth with custody because Sherry was making him out to be kind of this mean guy.
Right.
And not a responsible father. So the attorney suggested, when you go over there and pick your daughter up, you need to record it.
Yeah.
To show that you're not being belligerent. You're not being argumentative. You're just there to pick up your child.
Right. Because even then, custody battles would pretty much default to the mother, even if the mother was not suited for the children. Right. Just because, children should be with their mother. Well, no, not always. Sounds like this was one of those cases, and Billy was trying to prove his point. And
So the tape recording, it plays it, and it does record Billy going in to get his daughter Melanie. So Paul Wolf lets Billy in, and Billy goes in and says, "Hello, little one, are you ready to go?" And she says, "I'm not going with you." And so he's like, why? You know, we're going to go on a picnic. We're going to go play in the water. We're going to have a fun day. You know, we're going to have sandwiches.
Yeah.
The little girl starts to kind of come around.
Okay.
Like, maybe, okay, maybe. Now, I want to remind everybody that the little girl is 2 years old.
Yeah, we're talking about a toddler here. And
you know,
yeah.
And kids just, you know, I want to do something 1 minute, the next minute, no, I don't want to do it.
I'm that way at 42, I know.
Right. I mean, so she's only 2 years old. And so she just is like, I don't want to go.
Right.
And then it's like, well, maybe I do. Right. And she asks Billy, where's Letty? Which that's a nickname that they gave Leticia. And he said, well, she's out in the car. She's waiting on you. And about that time, you hear a noise on the tape. And we later find out that it's Billy being hit in the head.
Yeah.
Now, there's no fight, right? Because remember, Paul said he came irate. He was angry. He attacked him. He had to, in self-defense, attack him. Right. Well, that's not what we're hearing on the tape.
No. No, there's nothing.
We're hearing, yeah. Right.
Sorry.
We're hearing a... Yeah, we're not hearing that. Yeah.
All right. It's just him talking to his daughter, and then all of a sudden, whoop. Because I thought about playing the audio, but I don't want to because, I mean, it's his last moments, and...
It's traumatic.
I just didn't want to play that. But yeah, I mean, there's nothing that would allude to, oh, he became belligerent, I had to defend myself. Like, not even in the slightest. He's being very calm and caring with his daughter. And that's his last moment.
He's not getting angry. He's not yelling. Mm-mm. He's not blaming Sherry for anything. He's not saying, you put her up to this, didn't you? Or something.
Yeah. He's just like, I mean, no, let's go do this. Yeah. And, you know, just like you would talk to a 2-year-old, you know.
Right. You get, you know, don't you want to come? We're going to go play. We're going to go do fun things together. You know. So Melanie in the you hear her in the tape, she's crying. Of course she's crying. She sees her dad get beat up with a pipe on the head.
Yeah.
So in the process of this beating recording, we hear a voice, Paul's voice, and he says, "Hey Glenn, get over here." So now we know that it's not just Paul there, not just Billy, Sherry, Melanie, but there's somebody named Glenn.
Right. And
yeah,
and I'm just thinking all of this is happening in front of a 2 year old,
right? Yeah,
I just oh my gosh, no.
Paul at one point even says, "Oh, Glenn, look at the mess you've made." So now we're starting to piece together that Glenn is the one, perhaps that has hit Billy.
Right, because that was the anonymous call that was received, was, hey, look at Glenn.
Right. And you also hear Sherry's voice saying, hit him again.
Oh, mother of the year.
Hit him again. Yeah, and then get him out of here. We got to get him out of here.
Yeah.
So, I know. And Glenn was friends with Sherry and Paul. And he, you know, Paul had told Glenn that he wanted to get rid of Billy. I mean, that he was tired of allegedly the arguments between the custody. And so he wanted to get rid of Billy. And Glenn said, okay. Because they said that Glenn was very easily influenced.
Oh, okay. Because that was going to be my next question was like, was Glenn... You know, people prey on those who are easily swayed. Oh, here, do my dirty bidding. Because then I'm going to blame you for it all. So
Yeah. So, you know, and the thought is the motive behind this is, you know, Sherry wanted full custody of her daughter.
But there are other ways to get full custody. Because it sounds but she had primary custody and he would just visit on weekends.
But I think to her it was all or nothing.
Well, you know what I mean? Two she of you made her, the child, so.
Right. But this is using her child as a pawn.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, which a lot of adults do, which let me just say how low you all are, those people that do that, that use children as pawns. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
There's no reason for
it. You withhold your child to punish the adult.
Because the child,
right. You're really punishing the child.
Yeah, because the child is who suffers for your ego. So
so you know, from what we gather from all of this is that, you know, Glenn hits Billy from behind. Paul then walks up to the car because remember Letitia, Letitia is in the passenger side waiting outside for Billy to bring Melanie out. And he attacks her with a hammer. Now, I know it's because, you know, Letitia knew that, you know, they have had interactions before with Paul.
Right.
So it was probably out of the ordinary for him to come outside.
Right.
Maybe he was coming out to say, hey, it's going to be 5 more minutes. Or, hey, can you come in and help us, you know, get Melanie in the car?
Mm-hmm.
It was nothing. I'm sure that Letitia never thought anything of that.
Well, right. You don't, you'd have to think so, especially if he could get that close to her while she's sitting in the car with she gets attacked with a hammer. Because I think she was strangled as well.
They
found out. And it's like, okay, he preyed on her knowing that's so premeditated and horrific, you know.
They take Billy's body and put it in the trunk of the car, of Billy's car.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul is driving it while Glenn is driving from behind in his car.
So Paul's driving a car with two deceased people.
Well, yes. Getting ready to be deceased because Billy is in the trunk of the car and you can hear he's still alive on the tape. And he's breathing heavy. But eventually he does succumb to his injuries.
Yeah.
Golly. Which is horrible.
Yeah.
Yes. So, Letitia got beaten with a hammer, like you said. But they discover that she, too, is still alive. So, Glenn shoots Letitia in the back of the head with a 20-gauge shotgun.
Oh, my. Ah, and that's the shell casing found
that was found at the site. Yes. Mm. So then they leave them out there, and they come back home.
And you just come back. I don't understand how you could go maliciously kill two people, go dump them, think you've done everything, and then come home and be like, what's for supper?
Right.
What is wrong with people?
Right. Mm. So Paul, Sherry, and Glenn all get life in prison.
Good. Should have gotten more than that, but
right. But my question with all this is this: okay, so Sherry was going to get full custody, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So she had a in her mind, my benefit of Billy being gone is I'm going to have full custody of this kid.
Right.
Paul is like, well, that's my lady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm going to do her bidding. But why in the world was Glenn even involved in any of this?
Yeah, that's the
like,
part
that's
I don't
where
get.
I don't, mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't either. 18 years old and now has life in prison.
Yeah. And for what? Something he had no interest, like nothing was in it for him.
Right.
He wasn't dating any of them. The child was not his. The baby getting ready to be born was not his. What were you doing involved in all that?
Right.
Makes zero sense. None.
Yeah.
Unless he just thought, oh, hey, he needs my help. I'm going to go help. I mean, come on.
Right. And they said he was easily influenced and he was not very educated.
Well.
That's how he was described on the documentary.
Yeah. Well, that's sad because then they are predatory in that fact of, they aren't intelligent enough for whatever reasons. To see what's going on, so let's take advantage of that. Yeah, that's good. Not.
Yeah. So had Billy not had the recorder on.
Yeah.
I think it would have been hard.
Yeah.
To prove otherwise, I mean, because Paul was going to take the fall of it, because Paul never mentioned Glenn in the confession.
Right.
He said that they attacked him, and he just in self defense hit him, and then got scared and dumped their bodies. So had it not been for the recorder showing us the true story.
But did he forget that they both got shot?
I don't know.
Forget? Like,
maybe he thought they wouldn't figure that out. I know that sounds bizarre, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I read too, because Billy and Letitia were supposed to get married on August 7th and their bodies were found on August 6th.
Isn't that horrible?
I was like... Because it seemed like both of them, Sherry and Billy, were moving on. And were, by, I guess, whatever means, content in their lives. Mm-hmm. Sherry was getting ready to have another baby. Billy was getting ready to be married. And all for what?
Right.
There's no, it was so senseless.
Yeah.
That Paul felt he had to do that. And then for Sherry to be the mastermind, but here you go. Here's another. She didn't lay a hand on either of them, of
That's
Billy
right.
or Leticia, and she didn't hit him, she didn't pull the trigger, but she still gets off because she probably was the one that orchestrated it.
Well, and to stand there and
You know?
see your father's child, I mean, you know, you're the father of your child
Right, your child's
get
father, yeah.
beaten, yes, get beaten,
Yeah,
and
and
you're
you
standing there
just
going, hit him again. I mean,
while that little girl
yeah, a
is
little girl is sitting there, you know, 2 years old, seeing her father getting beaten.
because even at 2, they know
Oh,
that
yeah.
that's wrong and that it's bad. They might not, they
Yeah.
don't have the cognitive reasoning to be like, oh my gosh, this is a murder, but they just know,
Yeah.
it's bad. Was there any follow-up on Melanie?
No,
I
I think
couldn't
she's
find
lived a
anything.
relatively quiet life,
Yeah.
which I
I
think
don't blame her.
I don't blame her at all for that. But yeah, I mean, it's sad because her father is dead and her mother is sitting in prison.
Yeah, all at the age of 2
Yeah.
for her is how life started.
Yeah.
The dad, mom, stepdad, all that
Gone.
just in a second for
Yeah.
jealousy or for, well, you're not gonna interfere in this life or whatever. I mean, come on.
Right. I don't get it. I don't
Goodness.
that I just didn't understand that. I mean,
Get over
you
yourself,
want,
people.
well, it's like I didn't know that, you know, I don't know. It just makes me wonder why, what was the big deal? Like you said, they both had moved on with other people. Sherry was getting ready to have a baby with Paul. So what did it matter that Billy came over every other weekend to come get her his daughter for a couple of days and bring her back?
Yeah. 'Cause
Like, what was the problem?
it does happen. There are people that are no longer together that share kids and
Yeah.
share custody, and you know what? It goes fine. It's not
Yeah.
dramatic.
Right.
It is possible. I have seen it and witnessed it with my
Right.
own eyes. But yet, for every story of that, you've got a story like this,
Right.
where
Yeah.
people just come so enraged. And
I wonder if
I
it
don't
was
know.
that he said, she said, and Sherry knew that she was never going to get sole custody unless he was dead.
Right.
So
But
she had made up
why?
her mind, if we go to court, he's never, they're never going to give me full custody of this child.
But where, and
You
that's
know?
where I miss, that's where my analytical mind cannot understand. Oh,
Right.
I want sole custody, so I'm just going to have him killed. And then it'll be fine. No
Yeah.
worries. We
Yeah.
won't worry about anything else. It's like, where do you
Right.
think you're going to get away with it? Where do you think murder is ever the answer?
Right.
That's just the part that still fascinates me with a lot of these cases, is
Oh, I know.
they
Yeah.
think
They resort
murder,
to murder.
they think murder is the
Yeah.
fix, and it's just
Right,
not.
right.
It's
No.
not.
No. So yeah, I mean, this case was just, it was shocking and it's very sad because Leticia and Billy were both 26 when they were murdered.
Yeah, I mean, just starting their lives out,
Yeah.
honestly.
You
You're just
know, I
starting
mean,
your life at that age.
yeah. And he seemed from the recording, I mean, he seemed like a very sweet,
Yeah.
he loved his daughter and he just wanted to spend time with her. And that was it. He wasn't yelling at his the mother or the stepdaddy or
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
That's just a
That it's
sad
yeah.
case.
And you'll never get a true answer from any of those three because they all had different
Yeah.
reasons as to why. But it's like, why? Where at there had to be at some point out of the three of them, somebody had reasoning come in and go, is this really the best option? Is this really
Right.
the best thing to do?
Yeah.
And none of them had the courage to say, let's don't. We're not going to talk about
Yeah.
this again. Just don't. We'll deal with it later, or we'll manage to find a way to get through it.
Right. No.
So,
Yeah. I know. So that is the case of Billy Staten and Leticia Castro.
Goodness. All right.
Yes.
Well done.
I know.
So next week we have on the docket Lauren Smith Fields. Now, this is a recent case. This is a woman who, up in Connecticut, was found dead in her apartment in December after a date with a man she had met on Bumble. So, this is what I've started reading into it. This is a very disturbing and sad case of what's gone on and how with adults, how some people think that they don't need to notify next of kin that their family member has been deceased. So there's a lot with this. So stay tuned. You know, this will be next week. And again, it's Lauren Smith Fields. This was back in December of 2021 in Connecticut. So we will be doing that one. It's interesting. And it's still a bit ongoing as well. So, well done, Erin, as always.
Thank you.
So next week, we've got that. Again, if you want, give us a follow on Instagram at Southern Onion Podcast. We would love to see you on there. Again, DMs are open on there if you have any questions or cases you would like for us to cover. We always love hearing from everybody. Thank you again for all the support and the good vibes and the good words. We really, really appreciate it. And if you haven't already, go out, like, subscribe. If you really like the podcast, leave us a comment. We appreciate that because that helps us continue to grow and be able to do more things with the podcast as well. Yep. So, all right. So I hope everybody goes out and has a wonderful week, and we will see you back here next week for another episode of Southern Onion Podcast. And until then, take care, stay safe, and keep peeling back those layers of true crime. Bye, Erin.
Bye, Erica.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.